Welcome to the members of the gallery, welcome to the staff. Any apologies? I don't think so, we're all here. Start with the, my run sheets are
running
out of kilter. I've got to get it back. And let you know that in case of emergency, we need to go out through the exits and out through and onto the street. I haven't got the proper wording in front of me because it's not in, front of me, so excuse me on that one. Acknowledgement of country. Council acknowledges Palitua and Panahia, past peoples and the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather for the council meeting, with respects paid to elders past and present, and extended to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people present. Moving on, I'd like to confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor House. Any discussion, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Declaration. Councillor
Kelly.
So, Mayor, we currently have two declarations of interest in relation to our community grants.
Was I one of those or not?
No, you haven't given me one.
I haven't got a pen, so.
Oh, okay. Three? We have three. For our community grants decision and perhaps one pending.
Is that for this open session or closed?
Closed.
Well, wait for closed then.
Okay.
So thank you.
One for closed.
Okay, thank you. Declarations of interest have been acknowledged. So you've got council workshop report on page 9. You've got the mayor and council reports also on page 9, 10 and 11. Anything to add, councillors? Councillor Sinfield was first.
I think you, I and the general manager attended meant to do something on some date, and I didn't notice that in my list, and I can't remember what date it was.
Can't remember that neither, but we did. Thank you, councillor. Councillor Loader.
Thank you. I would like to give a really big shout out to our community wellbeing team on the community Circus in the Community event last Thursday. There were about 80 people. It was a fantastic event. I went around and had a lovely time networking with people, and basically they were saying, please do more of this. It was a fantastic community building opportunity, and it really showcased what community can do when they get together. It was also about learning, so big shout out to Supercilious and also to Nate and Alison.
Thanks, Councillor Loader. Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I'd just like to congratulate
the microphone. Councillor Kelly, please.
I'd like to congratulate the Collingwood Football Club for an outstanding win in the grand final.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly.
I'd like to second that too.
Thanks, Councillor Loader. We won't put that as a motion. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Sorry,
thanks.
That threw me, that one did. Sorry. Any others? Councillor Cameron?
I'd just like to take a moment to reflect on the Honourable Graham Page, who passed away late in September. He, you might know Graham from his business activities with Page Transport on Oaks Road, and as well as his work as a member of government in the 70s. Graham's family, I think the Mayor and I both attended Graham's funeral, and it was probably the biggest funeral we have ever been to, which is a testament really to the work Graham's and his family have done in the community. And I just would like to pass on our sympathies to Anne and his children.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. I'll also endorse that. Starting up a family business, carried on the family business at Hagley, and has contributed right through. So it is always sad to lose those of those in the community that we look up to. So thank you. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I'd also like to mention we did lose a fellow councillor in the Central Highlands, Scott Bowden. And he's father and grandfather, I think, also served on the Central Highlands Council. I can't think of the amount of years that they all put together. It was a tremendous amount. So, my thoughts go out to them and their family.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other announcements, councillors? If not, move on. Petitions, nil?
No, there's no petitions, nil.
Community representations? Nope. Righto, we're moving on to public question time. We have two on notice which are public questions. So when we get in public question time, I'll ask you to when you come up, to tell us who you are, and you have 3 minutes. At 2 minutes and 30, I'll ring a bell, let you know you've got 30 seconds left, and then at 3 minutes, give or take, I'll ask you to wrap up. So with that, Helen, you're up first.
Me?
Yes.
Find the deep end there, Helen.
You want to get rid of me?
No, we're at that.
Is this working?
Yes, it is.
Right, I have three questions. Am I allowed to
get
them all?
Yep.
Well, I'll start off with the easy ones, which are questions 2 and 3. So, I previously spoken with the general manager about the situation regarding the vulnerability of people living in Blackstone Heights to a severe bushfire threat. Question, will the Yatta Valley Council urgently request the Tasmanian and federal governments for sufficient funds to create roads in this and other similar vulnerable areas in the Yatta Valley, which allow proper exit routes for residents and better access for fire services?
I guess I can just talk about the process that we go through. So we assess all of our capital infrastructure works on an annual basis. We receive requests from community, and we receive input from the councillors, and we also have officers that are aware of works that are needed within the community as well. So we'll talk with the Director of Infrastructure, and we'll list your request there, Ellen. But I will note that these things have been discussed previously, and we are aware that some of our townships have limited access and some are one way in, one way out. If I talk about Blackstone Heights specifically, we've started a project to look at Link Road through to Mount Leslie Road. So we are starting construction on that, so I'll just note that one.
Thank you. The next question, I read the cash and investment reconciliation details in the financial statement. I hope everyone on council did too. As far as I'm able to discover, the Yatta Valley Council deposits its money, nearly $35.4 million, in many banks which invest in companies which are involved in the creation of new fossil fuel projects and or the continuing operation of coal, gas or oil projects and facilities. In line with your climate policy, will the Yatta Valley Council move its cash and investments to financial institutions which do not invest in maintaining the operation of the fossil fuel companies which are causing our climate crisis?
So, just from memory, Helen, Council's investment of surplus funds policy is due for renewal in March next year. So, our elected members will workshop that policy in the lead up to a review. And so, I guess they will bear in mind your comments from today when they make a decision on that in the future. So, it's not very far away, that decision.
Thank you. Now, just a little background, just to remind you, in 2015, Australia signed up to the Paris Agreement. We agreed then to restrict our carbon emissions so that globally temperatures would not rise more than another 2 degrees Celsius by the end of the century and as close to or below 1.5 degrees Celsius. We're failing. On a third of the day so far this year, 2023, our goal of not exceeding 1.5 degrees Celsius globally has been exceeded. A third of the days. September has been the hottest month ever, and the global temperature rose by 1.75%. 2 degrees is the maximum. 100% emission reductions are now required by 2035, not 2050. We're in a climate emergency. Professor David Bowman told me earlier this year that Tasmania has not seen anything yet. And this is probably horrifying to you in this area who've already lived through so-called 100-year floods and fires.
3.5 minutes, Ellen. Question, please.
Thank you. Declaring a climate emergency places pressure on the other two levels of government to provide more resources at the local level to address all councils' responsibilities. Along with Northern Midlands and 4 other Tasmanian councils, which have already done so, will the Meander Valley Council declare a climate emergency now?
Thank you, Helen.
So thanks, Helen. I know that you're particularly interested and passionate about it. We have another member of the community who is asking the same thing of council. I guess we'll just note that. Council had, in 2020, I think we had some, I think you perhaps asked questions of council around that time, and instead of declaring a climate emergency, our council decided to adopt a policy as climate change action and mitigation, I think the title is. That's due for review in 2024. So our council will be having some discussion in forthcoming months as we approach that. So I guess in those discussions, they'll consider whether they decide to declare a climate emergency with that. And they'll probably seek information to better inform themselves about what's changed in the past 3 years. While I don't have an answer for you today, I guess those discussions will be occurring.
Thanks, Helen.
Yeah.
Andrew Ricketts is down for a question.
Afternoon, councillors and staff. My question's very simple. It relates to a planning application that's on the agenda, that is planning application PA 230233. My question is to the council planning staff, planning department. Is the planning department aware of any additional uses proposed for the subject land pursuant to the subdivision beyond the house, which is shown in the application?
I can't answer that one, so I'm going to throw it to
you. If you'd like to.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Brenton Josie, Acting Team Leader, Town Planning. Subdivision application shows an indicative future dwelling that doesn't provide approval for that dwelling at this time. Any future dwelling or any future development and use on that property will be subject to a planning application, and part of that planning application will be to address the impacts to priority vegetation area mapped on that property as well.
Thank you.
That wasn't, for the record, that wasn't an answer to my question. My question was whether the planning department was aware of any other proposed use.
For clarity, no, we are not aware of any other proposed use.
Thank you.
Thank you. Open up for discussion from any other members of the public that may wish to.
I have discussion on questions.
Sorry, Tony. Question? Sorry, I open up for another question. Sorry. Question.
Good afternoon, Mayor and councillors. My name is Tammy King, and I'm here as project officer for Deloraine House. Dennis Smith sends her apology due to staffing, and one of us was able to attend today. I refer to questions that were asked and answered in the agenda for today's meeting and questions that were asked at the last meeting. So I thank the General Manager, Jonathan Harvey, for his response to my question regarding the Apex Club of Deloraine's operation in the Deloraine Caravan Park, indicating that the financial reports are publicly available. The Apex Australia Annual Report for 2022-2023, Region 10, Tasmania, notes from the regional communicator state that the main concern is the future of the organisation in Tassie. And the report for the Deloraine Club states no contact made. Could Council please advise where the financial information from the Deloraine Apex Club is publicly available?
Yeah, we'll take your question on notice, Tanya, and I'll actually give you a call and let you know.
Thank you. My second question is in response to the General Manager's answer to Debbie Smith's question at the 2023 September meeting of Council regarding a fair and transparent process to tender for the operation of the Deloraine Caravan Park. Could Council please advise if a decision of the way forward has been made? And if a decision has not yet been made, why not? And why are Council not appearing to be willing to engage in a tender process to ensure fairness and transparency?
Thanks, Tanya. I'll take that one. So at the moment, councillors are looking at the process going forward for the Deloraine Caravan Park. We have a proposal in front of us from the General Manager as to which way we go forward. And when councillors make that decision, it'll be there for the public to look at or potentially be involved in. Thank you. Any other questions from the floor?
Hello, everybody. Can I just hollow without the microphone?
We're doing the same, it's okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lisa Fleming. I am owner-operator of Love Lucy Boots Wine Room and also a resident of Westbury. Good afternoon. I don't know the official way of meeting councillors, members of the public and the planning team. My first meeting, I'm really here today just to ask some questions, mainly about from a tourism side of what's happening with Westbury and signage. I've noticed, so I've had business now since November, and I have a touch point with probably 200 to 300 people, travellers and locals every weekend. I'm open for 4 days a week. And what I'm noticing is the lack of signage is really struggling and impacting Westbury. And I suppose my question today is, what's happening with the update of signage in and around Westbury, not just for when people are entering Westbury? Fantastic new signs, by the way, so thank you for doing those, but all the other signs are out of date. All the little heritage signs are out of date. The Village Green sign is out of date. I hear that a lot of that is to be updated coming into the Bicentennial. Bicentennial is less than a month away. I hand out walking maps to people and we look silly. I hate to say it, like you know, how we're looking to the general public, it doesn't look, it's not a great reflection about us as a tourism bustling centre. You know, you drive into Deloraine, there's lots of signage, Westbury, people just kind of keep passing through. So I suppose it's a question around what's the strategy of council around tourism? Is there a tourism officer? Who might ask these questions of? I didn't know who to ask the questions of, so thank you.
Thanks for the questions. General Manager will answer some of those for you.
Thanks, Lucy. Look, we may actually need to catch up because when you sort of say all of the signs, we probably need to be a little bit more specific, but I'll talk to some. As far as tourism within Meander Valley Council, it falls under our community wellbeing area, and the manager of the community wellbeing is Nate Austin. And we have a team leader of tourism, Vicky, who you may know at the visitor centre also. And so, yeah, I'd encourage you to request a meeting. If we talk about the signage at the highway site on state government's roads, we recently updated, so that was a really good project. That's completed June this year. The Village Green and the Westbury Town Common are two signs that are sort of being refaced. in line with the pending event, the upcoming event in November around the Westbury Bicentennial. So they're currently in process of being updated. So there are a couple of examples that I can talk to, but we may need to catch up just to get an idea of the specifics of the ones that you think are, I guess, a higher priority than others. And then again, going back to a previous question we heard today, it may be, depending on the size, a capital works project to do a broader scale sort of change, or it may be some smaller maintenance items that we can action sooner. So I think it's probably it for today on that one.
And that's Nate that just walks right past you there.
Oh,
so there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other public questions? So I just remind those that have asked questions today, if you could email your written copy or provide a copy to staff before you leave. There is clipboards and pens in reception for you to write your questions down. No other questions? All right. Thank you. Moving along then to Councillor Question Time. Councillor Loden.
Thank you. Just a follow-on question from Lucy. The new signage on the highway with the insert that's available, is something going to be put in there for the bicentenary event to say it's coming up? Because at the moment it just looks a little bit sad and empty.
I hope so. I'll take the question and yes, specifically put yes. I don't know if anything has been ordered at this point, but we certainly can in lead up to the event, which is
17th and 18th.
5 weeks.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I think signage across the municipality needs looking at and refreshing some places. I've seen it, so it's hidden behind scrub and all sorts of things. So I think we do need to have a look at it.
Thank you. Councillor Dornoff.
Following Councillor Loder's question about the tile for the bicentenary, can we also, in line with that, organise what tiles we're actually going to put in on a regular basis as the inserts? I don't know if we've done that as yet, have we?
Talk to you later. Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Obviously it's in hand. I can't comment because I don't know. Councillor.
On indulgence, that was discussed with the steering committee that designed the sign, of which I think Councillor Loder, myself and Councillor Temple were on, and the former Councillor Barry Lee, and we will have ongoing discussions about the sign spot that we put in there.
Thank you.
If I could just add to that, Mr. Mayor, I understand because spring and early summer is a very busy time of year with many events happening. It's quite a clamour for four or five organisations to want that space at the same time. So how that is resolved is yet to be determined.
Thanks, Councillor. Right, any other questions from councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My usual question relating to asking, is there any update on the proposed prison?
I can only add to that. I don't think I've received anything formally from the state government. Myself and the general manager had a meeting with Robin Baxter and concerned residents, landowners of Ashley this morning, just to talk about planning. And so that's an ongoing discussion with those people there, but I've got nothing from the state. John?
So we have asked the Department of Justice to come and provide an update at the next council workshop, actually, council. So can ask them for an update at that point in time. I expect they will come with expectation that they'll be giving us that.
Thank you.
Thanks, councillors. Any other questions? Take that as no. Okay, moving on to council planning authority. So planning matters, council act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act. And yes, there is just there. So moving on to our first planning authority report, which is 1 East Street, Carrick, and we have one representative who would like to speak to the council, Mr. Nick Howlett. I ask you to come forward. You have 3 minutes, Nick, to, and again, I'll give you a bell at 2:30 if we need to.
Right to death and milk cow. I'm not making that work.
That's right.
Mr. Mayor, councillors. Thank you for this opportunity. Just to, by way of refreshment, the RSL is a not-for-profit charity. My name is Nick Howard. I'm the Vice President of Westbury RSL. The charter of the RSL is first and foremost to promote the welfare of veterans and their dependents. Secondly, our charter is to preserve and maintain community memorials, the memory and the records of those men and women who suffered and died from their service in Australian Defence Forces. Westbury RSL neither supports nor opposes the development of 19 Meander Valley Road, Carrick. And, as I said, we welcome this opportunity to address Council with respect to the preservation of a World War I memorial elm tree on private property at number 17. It's adjacent to the proposed development. Westbury RSL appeals to the Council to require the planning applicant to take all reasonable measures during development, in particular any trenching for underground services, so as to preserve the structural root zone of the elm tree, which has a life expectancy of 300 to 400 years. Whilst the tree in question is planted on private property, it nonetheless endures as a living memorial and a live connection for Carrick descendants of World War I veterans who fought in that terrible conflict. Westbury RSL acknowledges developers' legal entitlement regarding property development, and we recognise the absence of any formal protections for the said memorial tree. We believe there is a solution. However, we'd like to take this opportunity to remind Council of two similar developments, situations that involve adjacent collateral damage from unchecked development. First, at the top of the tree is the state government's plan to build a 30-metre-high football stadium at Macquarie Point, just 100 metres from the State War Memorial and Cenotaph. This proposal has split the RSL membership down the middle between the need to preserve a sacred memorial and their love for football. Locally, there is fallout from a very unpopular 2022 local development in Westbury, twice rejected by Council. It was appealed in the Land and Environment Court and presents an almost identical situation to the planning application at 19 Meander Valley Road. This contested development resulted in the destruction of a 190-year-old plane tree. These two examples are mentioned to demonstrate that developer disregard for community values and heritage have far-reaching effects. It's not always just about money. We would like to suggest two conditions to any approval. First, that the applicant adjusts any underground service easement to safely bypass the structural root zone of the tree. Secondly, that upon planning approval, the applicant lodges with Council a $10,000 goodwill bond for a period of 6 months. In the event that fatal damage is done to the tree, half the bond could go to Mr. Champion's arborist cost, and the other half to Veterans Welfare Fund for disbursement within Carrick and Meander Valley Richmond community. I make it in 3 minutes?
Yeah, no, you've done, that's fine. You
I skipped a little bit there.
Thank you.
I think you get my drift.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll be asking for a mover in a second, but I do note that there is a change to the public agenda on conditions. Condition number 7 has now been changed from what is in the agenda. It's in, is it now up in front of us, Christian?
It's about to be.
It's about to be. So we're about to look at the change to item number 7. Yep. Do, but I want to read out the change of the condition first.
Yes,
work.
So, question number 7 then. The design of the front boundary fence to the Anna Valley Road is to be amended to be a height no greater than 1800 millimetres and have maximum uniform transparency of 30% between the height of 1200 millimetres and 1800 millimetres and comply with the requirements in condition 1. Any fence along the East Street return between the Anna Valley Road and the vehicle crossing to unit 1 and 2 must be constructed to a maximum height recommended by the traffic impact assessment to the satisfaction of the council's director, infrastructure services. So now that that is now in there, which is a little bit different to our agenda, would somebody be happy to move that motion? Councillor Dudman, thank you. As a seconder, Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to the representatives, those who came in today, and those who also provided written presentations for this development application. I was quite concerned about the tree and its well-being as well, although I note that it doesn't have heritage protection on it currently. And that's not to say that it doesn't have a significant heritage value, but from a legal basis, it is very hard to provide protection without it. I sought information on the likelihood of damage before the meeting, and I am confident based on the plans and also the statement from the applicant, which is in our documents today, that they will be engaging in the process in a way that protects the tree and ensures that no damage is likely to occur, and I'm happy to take that on face value. I appreciate the suggestions from the Westbury RSL in terms of possible inclusions in the application. However, I'm not certain about the legality of doing so. We could put it in there, but I don't think it would stand up if it was in a tribunal. So respectfully, I'm not going to propose that. Instead, I will note that I, and I'm sure the others, will be monitoring the security of this tree. And as I said, I have a decent level of confidence that it will be protected in this process of development. But I would once again just reiterate that whilst our passion is with the tree, we do have our legal limitations in this room as well.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
Thanks, Councillor Dudman. I think my thoughts are very similar to yours, and I think the representative has helped coming along today and speaking on behalf of the RSL. Looking at planning applications, there are many things that we can as councillors can do, and there are many things that we can't. And one thing that I always look out for is safety. And I'm pleased that we may have come to a bit of a compromise here with some fence arrangements to help with the safety of the road. But I must admit that planning application that you referred to on Meander Valley Road from a year ago, you know, that is a great example of what not to do when it comes to our heritage trees. And I think the outcome there was extremely disappointing. And again, while you can do something, doesn't mean that you have the social license to do it. So I really do encourage the developer, as he has written here, do everything you possibly can to stay away from that tree and not damage it. I mean, the significance of that tree goes far, far, back, you know, generations and will into the future. And building a house is one thing, but maintaining that significance for our community is another. So I think those who have come along and made representations and really do encourage the developer to do everything they possibly can to maintain that tree. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Loder.
Thank you, and yes, thank you to thank you for coming along and sharing your thoughts and backing up what was written by Mr. Sackley. I'm really concerned about the elm tree as well, and I guess this developer hasn't got off on the right foot because he started a whole lot of stuff before he came and asked for permission. So it's a little bit hard my sense of empathy says that if I was a resident, I would be finding it really hard to trust his words, which say, I am quite aware of the oak tree history and have plans to get services in to avoid damage to the tree at my cost, so it is not about money. So I hope that what he has written there, he will actually do and look after this tree. Because while it might not have some kind of heritage protection on it, it's the community love it. It is of great significance. And I think for him not to say what he said he's going to do would be not good. The other thing I want to say is about footpaths. Since becoming a councillor, footpaths are simply the biggest subject that people contact me about. And while there's no requirement for this development to have footpaths, the fact of the matter is all across the valley we're getting more and more unit developments. They're increasing the traffic and people are getting concerned about being a pedestrian and walking around their little towns. We need to encourage people. If you listen to what Helen had to say with fossil fuels, we need to encourage people to walk more or leave their car behind, which you can do if you live in a little place like Carrick or Westbury. So I'm disappointed that footpaths aren't part of that, and I do want to acknowledge that footpaths are a really big concern. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, thank you to the representatives. I'm really impressed by the volume of detail you put into those representations. I know that that's a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of thought. I'd particularly like to pay tribute to Mr. Howard, who spoke before on behalf of the RSL, for the work that you do for your community, sir, and also for the broader community. We're very lucky to have you doing that. Yes, in terms of the safety of the tree or the longevity of the tree, we need to do all we can to make sure that they honour that commitment, or the developer honours that commitment. I will be supporting the motion on the basis that it does satisfy the planning scheme. We have had pretty detailed discussions about road safety and all those things, and we've taken the advice of the planners. I take your point, Anne-Marie, in particular, or Councillor Loder, about the footpaths. I think that's something we should be pursuing going into the future. But it does conform to the planning requirements, and that's been the advice of the planners, so I'll be supporting it.
Councillor House, Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to ask through you, Mr. Mayor, if the planners could give us any thoughts on their opinion regarding the RSL's submission today.
Yep. Well, that's an interesting question, Councillor. Through you, General Manager.
Yep. So I think that Nick from the RSL asked a couple of things of Council. I think there's a permit note proposed in the recommendation, which is note number 6. And it states, when undertaking earthworks in proximity to the elm tree located at 17 Meander Valley Road, care is to be taken to minimise disturbance to the tree roots zone. It is recommended that guidance of an arborist be sought. So I guess that's similar to Nick's first point. The second point around a bond we have not included in any condition or note relating to the decision today.
Could I ask Mr. Mayor, is a bond appropriate, and if Council wished to, could it impose such a condition?
I'll have to refer to the staff on that, but I imagine that's not. I think Councillor Dunman has actually already alluded that it may not be something we can legally do, but I'll refer to the General Manager or somebody that knows.
Krista.
No, Krista, it's not.
No, it's not something that...
It's not something we've done, not something we can potentially do.
Correct.
Okay, answer your question, Councillor.
My next question was relating to the visitor parking, and that I understand that the only way that a visitor can walk from the visitor parking to the units 1 and 2 is either on the nature strip, which is going to be grass, or if it's wet and whatever, they're going to have to walk on the actual roadway in competition with cars. Is that correct?
Well, if there is no footpath, then, Councillor, I imagine that's the way people will walk it.
On the grass.
On the grass. There are lots of areas in the municipality that don't have footpaths.
Yes, but there are very few properties where there is visitor parking on the property and you've got to go onto the road to get access to the property.
My understanding is that this proposal has car parks for tenants, and like any property, there will be visitors come and go. I don't understand your question, Councillor.
Simply that you will drive onto the property, and then to gain access to half the property, you have to walk on the road.
Councillor Dudman,
Is it illegal to walk on the road?
Is it illegal? No, I don't think it is at the moment, Councillor Kelly.
I have a follow-up question. My question is to the planning team as well. There isn't footpaths included on this plan, and it has been raised several times now. Given that the location of the footpath would be on public land and not within the building envelope, is it possible for us to have included footpaths in this plan anyway, or is this a matter that needs to be dealt with through infrastructure and budgetary requirements through the council?
Mm. This, give this one a go. Is it?
Yeah.
It's a press conference.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your question, Councillor Dudman. The simple answer would be no, and yes, that it would be an infrastructure matter. So in terms of footpaths and public footpaths more particularly, they are required for some forms of development, the primary form of development being subdivision and where we create roads. So if there was a subdivision or unit development where no roads are created under the terms of the scheme, there's no specific requirement for public footpath to be provided.
Thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Sinfield.
I'll ask one as a follow-up to that, but we are in this case requiring them to provide curb and gutting. Is that at the developer's expense or council?
Through you again, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I believe that is a requirement, and that's has been brought in through the car parking, not the car parking code, the road and rail assets code, around the provision of new accesses and subsequent public infrastructure associated with that. So it relates specifically to the vehicle crossings as opposed to the public walking infrastructure.
Thanks, George. Any other questions, Councillor Thornoff?
Just to bring us back to the start, I'd also like to thank the representatives for coming in today. It's encouraging to see so much passion within so many different fields, tourism, climate change, flora and fauna protection to date so far. So in relation to the Carrick subdivision, I will be voting in favour of the planning recommendations of our staff, but I also note that in permit note 6 provided by planning staff when undertaking earthworks in proximity to the elm tree located on 17 Meander Valley Road, care is to be taken to minimise disturbance of the tree's root zone. It is recommended the guidance of an arborist be sought. I certainly hope that will be undertaken by the developer.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other questions, Councillors? Councillor Sinfield, with the
comment, not a question. Yeah, I won't be able to support this because I think the dwelling being only 2 and a bit metres from the boundary is unacceptable on a block where I think we rearranged it. So that's not an issue. It's not my development, but I believe the impact of that on traffic, etc. It's one thing that we've amended wording to lower fences and whatnot, but when the dwelling owner's parking is in front and you could simply park a van in a spot that blocks your view anyway, I guess that could happen with a bush or a tree, but we can manage that. But for me, the proximity of the dwellings to west and to the corner is not a good one, and one that I think could have been avoided. So in voting on the application before us, I'll be at this stage voting no.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors' questions? I'll take the opportunity to thank Nick and the Westbury RSL for making the submission. It's good to see that the RSL are keeping an eye on things that have been planted many, many years ago, so I appreciate that, and I also appreciate the good work that you do, along with all the other RSLs in the municipality. So thank you for that. Parking, obviously, is an issue. Footpaths is an issue. It's an interesting one. We had Helen talked to us before about climate change and our use of fossil fuels and bits and pieces, yet we are thinking about putting footpaths in places where we have grass at the moment. So it's an interesting thing to take away grass to replace it with concrete. So I think there's an issue that we need to have a bit of a discussion about going forward, but I'll be supporting the motion as it sits at the moment. So I open up for councillors. Any other discussion, councillors? If not, I'll go to Councillor Cameron as the seconder of the motion.
Just want to make a comment to say thank you very much also to the planners that have worked on this. I think it's probably been difficult, but it's probably given its challenges, and I appreciate the work that you've done to come up with this outcome, so thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dubbin.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I think it's been well established, but I'm just going to reiterate it one more time because I don't want any mistakes to be made in terms of why I vote the way I do. And that is because under the planning authority and the legislation that we are to deal with, we have to look at the applications before us under that scope. So I am very concerned about the tree, and I note that we have provided the strongest possible protection for that tree, but I cannot vote against an application legally because of the tree in mention, nor can I do it for the pathway. So I congratulate Councillor Sinfield for noting the setback and that being his reason for voting against the application. From my position, I don't see that as a significant enough reason to vote against the application, and therefore I will be voting in favour of it. But I do accept his reasoning based on the development application and the application of the law.
Thanks, Councillor Dubbin. On that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
So there's Johnson, Cameron, House, Loder, Kelly, Dudman, Dornoff. Thank you. Those against? Sinfield and Tibble. Thank you. Motion is passed. I'll do the paperwork. Righto, moving on to item number two for today, and we have community representation, Mr. Ricketts, to speak to the council for 3 minutes. Mr. Ricketts,
thank you.
I'll ring the bell at 2 minutes and 30 seconds to let you know where you're at. And welcome. You start when you want, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you. It is well known that community. That vegetation community classification mapping in Tasmania is often erroneous. This mapping has been done for this subdivision. The vegetation misclassification problem is widespread, especially concerning when the vegetation being classified happens to be critically endangered under the Commonwealth EPBC Act, or is listed as threatened vegetation under the Nature Conservation Act. The vegetation on the subject land is mapped as damp sclerophyll forest, and damp sclerophyll forest has obliqua, amygdalina, viminalis and ovata species within it. From an inspection of the property, the two species that dominate the property are Eucalyptus ovata and Eucalyptus viminalis. Both those species are threatened under state law and critically endangered under Commonwealth law. The the point about the damp sclerophyll forest is that even though it might be mismapped, it still contains Eucalyptus ovata, and the Eucalyptus ovata is foraging habitat for the critically endangered swift parrot. The problem is the council engaged a consultant planner who provided you with a report that misadvised council that there was no priority vegetation on the subject land. I have suggested that the conservation values of the subject land are so high that council should consider a Part 5 agreement. It's acknowledged that these issues are not of the making of the proponent here, but council would be, in my view, better advised to spend money engaging a botanist to review a forest practices officer's views, and would end up with a better result than being misadvised by a consultant planner who clearly doesn't know what he's doing. So this is an unfortunate situation where people want to build a house on a new block of land, and the planning information that council's been given is erroneous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ricketts. I think in defence of our planners and our planning consultants, they are only yet look at the information that is provided to them. So, thank you.
Excuse me.
Jim, would you like to make a representation? Okay, yes. Well, yep. For or against, may I ask?
For the planet, probably. against the proposal.
Okay. Yep.
My name's Peter Elkin. I live in Farrell's Road.
Yep.
My neighbour, the block in question. I've been unable to canvass any of you councillors because I was only notified that this was an agenda item late Friday after work. I haven't had adequate time to canvass any of you. I've quit work early today to just say a few words. I wasn't able to look at the response properly because the access centre was closed over the weekend. I spent 20 minutes last night at a friend's place. I've got minimal of them. But I will give just a minute. I believe council has to give, I believe council must take the environment far more seriously than the original report by Scott Livingston. It's claimed that by your, the fellow you, the people you passed this.
The planners.
The planners, your consultant planners. They didn't look at any of the objections that I made or the examples I made. They merely said that Scott Livingston isn't qualified. End of the matter. Well, I can just mention, he's not qualified. He's not a zoologist. He's not a botanist. He's not an ecologist. And let me give you an example of something in his report. He had a look at a forestry mapping system, which claimed that there's a low probability of eagles, wedge-tailed eagles, nests on the property. From that, he said, therefore, there is no chance, or very little chance, I'm not sure, that there will be any hollows for a masked owl. Let me just point out, eagles don't nest in hollows. It's just one example of how he's not qualified or make any sense of it all. I know I'm running short of time. I thank you for letting me talk. I put in my submission some very sensible alternatives which would minimise any disruption to this area, which is indeed priority vegetation. It is indeed. I don't care what Scott Livingston says. He's qualified or not, he's wrong. So to minimise anything, to minimise as far as possible, there are many possibilities, and I mentioned them in my submission. I only briefly touched on them because I was hoping to follow up with some more detail. But they would involve an access, which is it's on the first map of the planner's report. It shows the reserve road, which can be opened up. That would involve no impact on the priority vegetation for access. It's already actually fenced along that area. There's already a current access which would go right to the proposed dwelling. There are several other alternatives which would also minimise the impact of the roadside vegetation. I'll leave it now in your hands because I know my time's up. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And your submission was included in our paperwork that sits here at the moment. I guess for us that sit around the table, we're not questioning the qualifications of people that come forward or make representations or provide us with information. That's for others to do, and I'm sure the people that have been employed as planners or consultants do it because that's their job that they do. So whether you agree or don't agree, that's not for us to decide here today. So moving on, councillors. I have a mover and a seconder for this motion. Councillor Kelly is a mover. A seconder, please. Councillor Loader as a seconder. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One thing, I've been spent 12 years on council, and over that time I have found our planners to be frustratingly slow and they go through a lot of painstaking tasks to get things right. And I
wonder where you've come with that, Councillor. You recovered yourself, okay.
The point being, I do take offence when our planners get attacked because there's a lot of work goes in. It's not just an individual one, it's a team effort. And I'll be fully supporting this on their recommendations.
Thank you. Councillor Loder.
Thank you. Firstly, I want to say thank you to our planners. I know that they are constrained by the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act, which is difficult. And I want to acknowledge that and I want to thank you. I also want to thank Peter and Andrew for writing their submissions and coming along today. Earlier today I said something like, many of us live vanilla-flavoured lives. We go to work, we do our thing. We don't worry too much about what's going on because we're busy, we've got our own pet projects. So I'm always really grateful when I hear from people who are really passionate about things like climate change and looking after our environment. So I'm under the impression that the swift parrot is critically endangered. I think that's correct, isn't it?
Got half the East Coast locked up for them.
So, thank you, Councillor Kelly. Every tree counts. Every tree counts. In the last 200 and a bit years, we've chopped down way too many and we've seen way too many species eradicated and extinct. So every tree now counts. Having said that, after some discussions earlier today about this matter, what we are deciding here is a subdivision. We're not talking about a house, we're just talking about subdividing the land, and 0.8 of a hectare needs to be cleared for that purpose. Subsequently, if someone wants to build a house or do something with that land, it then has to come back to council. Is that correct? Yeah. So in the meantime, if Mr. Livingston's report is considered not to be right, then the challenge is out there to get somebody else to do one should another application come before us. So unfortunately, I feel I need to support this motion because all it is a subdivision at this stage. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dudman.
I just have a question to planners, and it is in reference to what Councillor Loder has just stated. Mr Ricketts, in his representation, has called for a Part 5 agreement to be included with this application. For the benefit of the vegetation on the site, in your professional opinion, do you believe a Part 5 agreement would be better placed on this application or on a future application for any other development on that site, i.e. a home?
Give that one a go.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it would be advisable that it's placed on the any approval for a future dwelling. Not at this time.
Yep. Councillor Dornoff.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Does that not need to be noted at all on the title, that there is a future recommendation and that Part 5 be placed?
No.
As a potential purchaser of the land, I'm sure you'd be a bit peeved if you're restricted in your development activity on the land without knowledge of that Part 5.
Is that a restriction being put in place?
We're not putting one on there.
We're not putting a restriction in place at the moment.
Is it not? No, but it's a recommendation.
No.
And
no.
Later admission.
No, not for a Part 5 agreement.
Right.
No, not at the moment.
Just to clear that up, there's currently not a Part 5 agreement on the property. The subdivision, there won't be a Part 5 on either of the either of the two lots if the recommendation is approved, so there's no change to that.
Any other questions, Councillor House?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, thank you to Andrew and Peter for your representations. A lot of effort's gone into those. Also, I know that just looking at everything we've had to read, I think I've added up, there's 154 pages in that proposal that the planners have had to go through, if my maths is right, and we've had a look at it as well. I likewise will be taking the advice of the planners, but I noticed from Peter Elkins' representation there to keep any impact to a minimum, and I agree with you, sir. But I also do note that of the 37 hectares that's proposed on that lot two, only about less than a hectare is likely to be needed to be cleared for in any way. So I believe that's minimum impact, but I accept your points.
No, sorry, you can't. No, Peter, we can't take questions from the gallery or comments, sorry. No, sorry, I can't take it from the gallery. Sorry. I'm sorry, but I can't. I can't take it from the gallery. Thank you. Now, questions, councillors? Councillor Temple?
Following on from Councillor Loder's comments, I see a problem in that at the moment, with it as all one title, the custodian is able to live on site. If it is subdivided, and then at a future date, a dwelling is not allowed on the other portion, then there is no custodian that is living there, keeping an eye on it, watching for introduced species of weeds and fire concerns, all the rest of it. And I don't know what the future of that block would be if a house wasn't allowed to be built on it. I'd also like to just to reflect on Mr. Ricketts' letter today. And, you know, I don't feel we're actually addressing that in that Mr. Livingston either has the appropriate qualifications or he does not. I don't know if he does or does not. And Mr. Ricketts' assertion that the species are not perhaps as they are presented and do come within the scope of the EPBC Act has not been tested either, but that assertion is there. So I'm troubled with that.
So thanks, Councillor. So well, I haven't had a chance to have a look at the letter that was sent through by Mr. Ricketts this morning, but you are questioning potentially a qualified person, and yet I don't know the qualifications of Mr. Ricketts that he puts his questions forward. So you can't have one or the other, Councillor.
No, I'm not questioning Mr. Livington's qualifications. I'm just asking if he does have the appropriate qualification.
I think you... Okay. That's a question. Any other questions, councillors? No? No other questions? Wrapping up, Councillor Loader as the seconder of the motion.
Thank you. I don't think I said that there shouldn't be a house on that block. And I know that you can have land and not live on it and still be a good caretaker. So I'm not quite sure where you got that from, Councillor Temple. But I want to make it clear that what we're voting on here is a subdivision, and that in the future there will be, I assume, an application for a house or a something to go on that land. And then we will come back here and we will have all this conversation all over again with a slightly different tack. And so I guess, like I said before, the ball's in the court of our representatives to come up with some other expert advice that they're happy with. I don't know. So, yeah, we're voting on a subdivision. And I ask these questions because I've spent hours on this. I went for a drive yesterday. I got out there and the thing that hit me first when I got out of the car is the most beautiful smell of the bush. And I can understand why someone would want to live out there. It's absolutely beautiful. And we need to look after it. So I'm voting yes for the subdivision. And if someone wants to build a house, it'll come back to us. And then we can talk about more ways to protect it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron,
here. Clarification. Just a quick thing I just want to clarify. Councillor is right, we're voting on this subdivision, and I just want to park that because we're also having a few conversations about a possible future development that we're not actually discussing today. But just to want some clarity for the representatives, and it may need to go to you, Krista, but Councillor Loader said to come back, for the representatives to come back with some other expert advice. There may need to be some clarity about how that process might work. That might be a conversation you want to take offline, but with the representatives. But I'm just unsure that it might be a bit muddy there in the sense that the representatives may present something at a future application that may or may not come, and whether or not that's accepted. Does that make sense?
Your
face. I love your face.
Councillor Cameron, sorry. I guess if this decision was appealed, then there is a TASCAT tribunal hearing that could occur. And yes, then you would need some expert advice, because if it's over the priority vegetation report, basically, and the qualifications of that officer, that is where I see that you could possibly need to engage the services of another expert in that field to provide that reporting. As for any future applications, I hope
it's hypothetical.
It's all hypothetical, and you don't even know if it's actually going to happen. Somebody could want to build a house there that is designed in a very ecological way and bushfire Bell 40 ratings and require very minimal clearance. Like, we have no idea what the future holds for that lot. So I think if and when we get presented with another application, that's when we could look at those options.
Thanks.
Thank you. No, well, unless it's a clarification, Rodney, because we're halfway through.
Yeah, I know. It probably is too late, so I'll just ask and you can tell me whether it is too late or not. I thought I would be supporting this, but I've sort of got to the point now where I'm wondering what is an application for subdivision. In other words, there's works also involved in terms of crossovers and clearing the land. Are they do the planners consider those just incidental to the application for a subdivision, or are they something beyond subdivision which didn't require classification into a use class in the first place, if that makes sense?
I'll allow that question to be answered, if possible.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So just to clarify, the question is what we're considering under this application and whether or not it was required to be categorised into a use or... Yep, okay. So this particular application is for subdivision only. Until recently, which was when the state planning scheme came in to effect, we no longer need to categorise subdivision into a use class. So it effectively has no use class. So it's a neutral development in that sense. The application in this instance is for the subdivision of land, which is effectively the division of the single lot into two lots. And there is a component of works. There's a physical component and a theoretical component. The physical component is the works required to provide the access onto Farrell's Road and the vegetation removal necessary for the sight lines. We have considered the impact of the 0.8 hectare clearance necessary for a future dwelling. However, we haven't actually considered that dwelling. So the bushfire hazard management plan is effectively a theoretical exercise to ensure that each lot is capable of having the correct hazard management areas for the particular bushfire risk. So that's what the bushfire report's done. The matter of a future dwelling is that quite possibly if this subdivision was approved and a future owner wanted to build a house and they located in the exact spot that's been proposed in this bushfire hazard management plan, then we would likely consider vegetation removal covered off, but subject to a new application. Alternatively, as has already been mentioned, the future landowner could potentially put the building envelope in a closer location to the road or in an area that's already partially cleared, which may require less vegetation to be removed. Or it may also avoid better value, more intact vegetation, which again reduces or minimises that impact on the priority vegetation area. So just to summarise, this is for the subdivision, for the creation of the two lots, the construction of the access and the removal of that vegetation. It theoretically provides for a building envelope, and it's not required to be categorised into a use class.
Thank you, George. Thank you. No more questions, councillors. Councillor Kelly has the mover of the motion.
I could talk for half an hour on this. The reason I won't is because I don't have parliamentary privilege. So the best thing is put it to the vote.
Thank you, councillor. And with that, I'll put the vote up for those of us, please. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Johnston, Cameron, House, Loader, Kelly, Dudman, Dornoff against. Sinfield and Temple. Thank you, motion carried. Righto, moving on to, well, some of you come out. So those that wish to leave the gallery, you may do so before we move on to our next item, which is community wellbeing. Yeah.
Oh, Craig. Don't want to stay. Just hold it down.
Okay, moving on. So we've got a recommendation in front of us. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please, Councillor.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Hang on,
you know that?
I just want to
do this. Go Dawn off then, if you like.
I'd like to move it with a slight amendment, if I can.
Sure. Councillor Temple's leaving the room. Slight amendment.
Well,
First, you'd have to move, foreshadow it rather than...
Well, if the seconder agrees to it.
And also, we haven't had a mover or a seconder yet.
We need a mover
and
a seconder.
Oh, you don't want to agree to my thing automatically. Okay. No, someone else can move it.
We need to cancel later.
I'll move it.
Sorry.
These people getting up and moving. Why have I become so loud?
I'm happy to second.
Seconder, please. Councillor Dornoff, sorry, Mr. Kenneth. Councillor Lader has moved the motion.
No, nothing to say at this point, thank you.
Councillor Dornoff.
No, not at this point.
Open up for discussion.
Can I talk about my amendment now?
You can. You foreshadowed an amendment.
I'm foreshadowing on a minute. Oh my goodness, I am loud. Hello. Okay, thank you. I would like to foreshadow an amendment to include the Deloraine Dramatic Society and Western Tears Film Society application for $3,000 to go towards a stage project. The reason I'd like to do this now is because when Grants Committee met to discuss this, we were missing a little bit of key information, which we have since received.
We haven't discussed it.
That's why I wanted to...
There's a seconder for the foreshadowed.
Everyone's really keen.
Yeah, we are louder.
It's really loud.
Sorry, I want a point of clarification. Are we voting on the original and then it will go to the foreshadowed motion where...
That is correct. So we only need to knock the original motion down to go to the second motion.
It's really some change.
Oh, well, it's procedure. Councillor Dutton.
It's a material change. Just noting that I will be voting against this recommendation for the sole purpose of supporting Councillor Cameron's amendment. I have personally met with a member of the Deloraine Dramatic Society and spoken to them about this matter, and I'm very pleased that we're able to support.
Who's the seconder?
You're the seconder, aren't you?
I are very similar, but I am my own person.
Thank you. Hanging up for discussion, councillors. Any other discussion before we...
Let's not discuss that.
..knock this one down? Yeah. Put the motion, all those in favour of the motion, that sits. Right. Aye.
No,
we don't want to.
If we're
letting it go,
aren't
we?
Yes, so we can do my foreshadowed one.
There's a foreshadowed motion, Mick. Are you in favour of the one that sits on the table now or against?
The one that we've got in our agenda.
Okay, so you're voting for? That's fine. Councillor Kelly, for, against? Everyone else? That's all right. Motion is lost. Is there a foreshadowed motion?
Yeah. I've done this before.
So we need a seconder for your motion. You've already alluded that you're going to have a motion. We have a seconder. Councillor Dudman, thank you.
Would you like me to clarify?
No, you're going to make a change. You've already said it.
Sorry.
Right. I just need to make a clarification.
She needs to be specific about the...
Okay, you need to be specific about...
Yeah, I'm going to... my foreshadowed amendment.
Yes.
So point two... The amount needs to change. It needs to increase by $3,000, and that would come out of a community grant equal to. Does that make sense to you? Chris, who's going to talk?
General Manager.
Yeah. Look, I just wanted to clarify what's occurring. So, Councillor Cameron, your amendment is to increase the dollar value of number two to be a total value of $29,904.
Yep.
And to increase 2A to $22,204 for the purpose of providing $3,000 grants to the Deloraine Dramatic Society.
That's correct.
For the stage project.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got that?
Yeah.
That's good. Councillor Duncan has the seconder of the motion. Happy to go forward. Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Dornoff.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Could the Grants Committee please provide some advice on 2F as the $2,500 allocation for the Launceston Carols by Candlelight? We talked about this offline, but if you could provide some...
We go to Nate in the first instance as the...
Sorry, through you, Nate.
Nate, as the officer in charge, before I go to councillors.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. What was the question?
So, I'm
cutting your funding from.
Well, I can just explain it. So Launceston Carrollsbot Candlelight was originally planned to be within the municipality. Due to measures outside of their control, they've relocated outside of the municipality. We had originally committed $5,000. It seems through discussions with the Grants Committee that they said that we honour a, is it a silver?
Silver, as opposed to gold.
Yep, which I certainly adhere to, but we'll be looking into the future 2024 budget with a pretty vigorous scope.
You've
there's no question.
I've got to say,
I think you got it, Lockie, the reassessment based on the change of location and an adjustment to the original amount, so knocking it back from a gold sponsorship to a silver sponsorship, which obviously still provides Meander Valley Council with a bit of branding at the event, but obviously, yeah, it's not, it's just over the border. So, yeah, reassess again after 24.
Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, can I thank Nate for the amount of work that he does, in particular, and his team in relation to going through all these grants, going through all the applications, all the work that, that has to be done, and I'm sure he'll go back to the Lord more often than not to get further detail. So there's an enormous amount of work goes into that, and I think it's great to see that there's been a strong number of applications. We are now, I think, pretty much on track with where we are on stage two of the grant. So we're, from a fiscal point of view, we're pretty much on track. There's a lot of work goes into those, and we there's a lot of effort goes in on the day too with the Grants Committee. I mean, it's not just a flick and kick or tick and flick. It's there's a lot of discussion goes on the merits of every application, and more than you might think. You know, sometimes it might be 20, 30 minutes on a particular application, as it was Councillor Dornoff. You know, quite a bit of conversation around the, whether it be a silver or a gold approach to that particular sponsorship. So I just really want to make the point that there's a lot of effort goes into these grants, both through the applications and how they're then ascertained. So well done to you, Nate. I think we've made some pretty wise sort of decisions on the basis of what we've been given.
Thanks, Councillor House. Now, discussing councillors, from my point of view, thank you to the councillors that sit on the Grants Committee. $100,000 each year we put up for the community to apply for, which is really good. It doesn't sound like a lot for some of them, but every little bit helps. And when you see the actual amount of people and organisations that get some dollars out of this, it's really good to see it spread across the municipality. So thank you to Nate and the team. Thank you to the councillors that sit on it as well. Now, discussion, councillors. If not, Councillor Dudman is the second. Oh, sorry, Councillor Sindra, didn't see
you. I just wondered, maybe I've been asleep at the wheel, but the change in relation to the Performing Arts Centre, can we get a bit of flesh on what, why we now gone from...
Do you want to answer that? No, I'll just...
House support.
Do you want me to answer that, or I can...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Sinfield, we were a bit unsure about the additional funding that they required to complete that application in terms of purchasing the stage, but they've advised us that Bendigo Bank have agreed to fund the rest of that project, so the project will be completed as applied.
Happy, Councillor? Yep, good. Thank you. Right, Councillor Dudman is the second or anything, Dad? Yep. Councillor Cameron is the mover.
Just my usual. Thank you to Nate and the team that sit on Grants Committee and to encourage all organisations and community groups in the Meander Valley to consider applying. Talk to Nate.
Thanks, Councillor. For the vote, all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Yep. Yep. Councillor Temple in. Moving on to corporate services.
Can you give us an age number, please?
303.
303, yep. Thank you. Corporate Services, recommendation to Council receive the attached financial report. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second that. Thank you. Council House, thank you. Seconder, Council Loader. Council House says the mover.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you to Justin, first of all, for preparing that. It's quite, it's covered, it's got revenue and expenditure in line with management expectations, and that's noted. Thank you for their fiscal management to date. There's four areas well covered there. There's the operating statement and the capital expenditure reports, the rates revenue, and the cash investments. I thought that was interesting that there was mention made of that today in the representations. We might talk about that another time. But all very well detailed, fiscally well managed, and thank you to Justin and Jonathan and the team for providing it in the format that it is provided. We can readily access it and go through it, and it's in pretty good shape.
Thanks, Councillor House. Councillor Loader, a seconder.
Yes, thank you. I had a minute ago, there it is, page 310, it mentions the Westbury RV dump point. Annette in the gallery. So be heartened, it's there, it's happening.
Councillor Loader. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, probably just a quick comment on Helen's comment earlier about banking and whatnot. I mean, we have a sort of somewhat risk averse position, I suppose, and so in terms of where we invest our money, there would, you know, I know that's a future conversation, but there would be somewhat some tension between finding institutions that are investing in those sorts of things somewhere in their portfolio, finding, you know, somebody who doesn't do that but is somewhat secure in terms of where council puts money, like there's a broad church of where we've got our money these days. It's not just one or two that's got the lot. Yeah. Spread it around, and how you sort of it all, it's not going to be super easy.
Yeah.
I can provide a comment if you like, Mr. Mayor. So I probably concur. It's quite a conservative approach that we have. There's always a balance between trying to maximise investment revenue for the municipality, just trying to keep, you know, rates down. I'd agree with that. Our investments are made in accordance with our investment surplus funds policy. There's restrictions in place around the credit rating of the institutions that we invest with, so there are limits on that. I guess we've been fortunate. We haven't had any trouble with the institutions we've invested with previously, as in we've never lost any principal. In 2008, I think there were some councillors in Australia that did. But, yeah, so it's probably by design, though, as you say, councillor. We are conservative.
Councillor Dornoff?
I think this one will be to the general manager, but through you, Mr. Mayor, on page 310, note mention of the emergency response trail. I understand that we received funding from the state government. Is it possible to receive an update as to when we'll actually be in receipt of that funding and when that trailer construction will be commenced?
Thanks for the question, Councillor. So the funding has been confirmed, which is really good. It means that there's no limitation on us proceeding with our project. I think it's still in the planning stage as well to the infrastructure it is. So we're still planning out what the trailer is by way of structure, but also equipment that would be contained within the trailer. So, yeah, it's only quite recently that grant's been approved. So we'll be proceeding now.
Sorry, Councillor Dubbin.
Just some point of clarification, Mayor. The funding for that trailer was by the state government, but provided by the federal government, and we thank the local member for that contribution.
And the
name is? Brian Mitchell.
Is it?
Right. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Tebble.
Well, I'm probably digressing a little, Mr. Mayor, but if you'll humour me, there's a number of things there to do with software and computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just mulling it over myself the other day that Some years ago, we used to store our data off at the post office in the safe that a hard disk drive went up there.
Did you go on your horse?
No, we didn't go on the horse, but someone walked up the street every day and then someone walked up again in the morning to retrieve it. It was a system that worked. My question is, do we actually know where our data is stored? Now, you know, people might say the cloud, but the cloud isn't up there. It's somewhere on the planet. Do we know the actual address where it is actually residing, or addresses?
So, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, it actually wasn't that long ago. I reckon it was only about 2013 that we stopped doing that. We received an update about our software upgrades in June council workshop. We had an external consultant come in and present to council, so that was really good. I guess council's intention is to adopt a cloud-based strategy. That's not the case currently. For the majority of our data, they're actually stored on council property. So we do currently, but that will change the more we adopt cloud-based products.
But when it is cloud-based, we don't actually know where it is. You know, if it's sitting in Sydney, Beijing, or somewhere else on the planet, it's not an address we can go and visit.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, with some you can. So with some software companies, you can dictate the data centre that the data is stored in. So we do have some ability, no matter the price, to be able to control that.
Thank you.
Councillor Dorn.
Before then, Councillor Dudman took my opportunity to follow up with a follow-up question about the trailer. In October, on Tuesday the 17th of October, there's a flood debrief session for the Meander Valley. Is it possible to please mention that trailer and potentially provide some community aspect or advice into what might constitute the elements of that trailer too?
Thanks, Councillor.
Yes,
Dino's taking notes now as we talk about it.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Councillors? Councillor Lader is the seconder of the motion. Councillor House has moved the motion. Put the motion, and all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. So, moving on to governance, page 319, Northern Coast Sports Facility Plan. So, somebody like to move, somebody like to second that, please. Councillor Sinfield, thank you. Seconder, thank you. Councillor Dornoff. Councillor Sinfield, as the mover of the motion.
Not really, just I think the recommendation itself is the bit that gives you some solace that, you know, we're receiving it. Yes, it says we're endorsing it, but any actual actions we take out of it in the future will be up to us to work through and get a go on it too. So that's where the comfort flies. And yes, very comprehensive, says a lot of stuff. I did notice in there there's an opportunity for a significant swimming pool development, Olympic standard, and that may be Westbury's opportunity to advocate. They think a good site for a prison is in the middle of a northern bullseye, would be Westbury, and they should get on board, and then that might be the opportunity to get said swimming pool in the area.
I'm not going to bite. Councillor Dornoff?
If I can take the politics out of it. Mr. Mayor, this is a wonderful report. It's great to see an emphasis on sport within our municipality and Northern Tasmania as well. It's no secret the rising issues of obesity and also mental health that come from, in my personal opinion, a lack of sport and recreation. It's great to see an emphasis on this and a wonderful
Thanks. Councillor Dornoff. Councillor House.
I agree 100% with Councillor Dornoff. And the emphasis on sport going forward is particularly important for those reasons that you mentioned. But I also particularly, I think this is important, we mentioned before, that we're taking a regional approach to this because sport doesn't necessarily have boundaries. We have sports people in this municipality that's going to go next door to play soccer or basketball or whatever it might be. So I think the fact that we're taking a regional approach and taking just their own area is particularly important for the, you know, for the well-being of all their young people. Well, sorry, of all their population going forward. So I think it's a great report.
Yeah, discussions. Councillors, from my point of view, it is some benefit for us that NTDC has pulled this together. As Councillor House has said, it is the councils in the north. So it's really a an audit of all the facilities in the north to look at where there may need to be some structures or infrastructure built going forward. Certainly got a lot of information about population growth from 2022 to 2036. Potentially the decline and the age of the population, and it's something that we can have in our back pocket going forward for where we may look at future developments within our municipality. So it's a good report coming forward. So that's my point of view. Other discussion, Councillor? Councillor Temple?
As I think I said earlier, I'm concerned that the word endorse could be taken to be mean something far more proactive than receiving the document. It's been said that council is still free to work independently. I'm wondering if there can be a few words added to the minutes to reflect that.
You'd have to make an adjustment to an amendment to the recommendation of council at the moment, Councillor, and I personally don't agree that that locks us into anything, but that's my view. Councillor, sorry, General Manager.
That's all right. I just wanted to repeat the number two part of the recommendation, which states the funding councils are responsible for considering the key recommendations of the plan for their respective council area. So I guess that's right. I think there was an earlier comment that we will take the concepts and the principles that are from the, that are included in the plan. And we'll factor those into future capital works programs as the council of the day sees fit and will be approving. So I think that that sort of condition gives confidence for me.
Thank you. And my other question is relating to sports that are not listed. You know, I hope it doesn't imply that council is not interested in other sports.
I can't comment on that one, John. This was obviously a report that was put together on behalf of councils. I imagine it doesn't, but any particular sport in general?
I could think of several, but the whole spheres of sport that are not contemplated within this.
I guess this is more looking at the facilities, correct me?
That's correct, yeah. The consultant produced the report, I mean, consultation with community and the council representatives would be doing it within the scope that they were given, so it's not intended to be an all-inclusive report, but yeah, as the mayor has stated, just focusing on the facilities that we provide to the community. It also sort of notes that schools have been excluded and they offer a range of things that we don't also.
Thanks, Jim. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Donald?
I've been critical of the NTDC in the past, specifically the bang for buck that I feel the Meander Valley does, or in this case doesn't get, and hasn't got over the last 12 months, especially that I've been on council. But this is a great start, and I look forward to seeing it and other opportunities arise and develop in the future with the NTDC.
Thanks, Councillor Dornoff. And on that basis, you can come along to have a luncheon with the board of NTDC next Tuesday at 12 o'clock, and you'll be able to tell them face-to-face what you think, if you want to. So any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Dornoff, sorry, as the second of the motion, anything to add?
Nothing.
Councillor Sinfield, there's the mover.
No, I will be availing myself of plenty of lunch next week.
Very good. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. So we're moving on to annual and September quarter. We'd like to move to someone like to second that, please. Councillor Dornoff. Councillor Dadman. Sorry, Councillor.
I give more
sorry,
time Council. Before we get the...
Dadman.
Can you give the page?
431, so sorry. So my apologies. Councillor, my apologies for calling you who I shouldn't have. My apologies.
Councillor Dadnoff.
Anyway, I'm after a second for the motion.
You're flustered there.
I am. Sorry. It must be hot in here today.
What a hot air.
Any seconder of the motion? Thank you, Councillor Dornoff. Dadman. As the mover of the motion, Councillor Dadman.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, just as always, to thank the staff in the Governance and Performance Department for their work. On this, obviously a lot of work goes into not just putting this report together, but also ensuring that we are meeting our financial expectations and more often than not exceeding them. So, yeah, my sincere thanks for that.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dornoff. Nope. OK, I open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor House.
I too would like to thank all the people involved with moving all these projects forward. There are any number. I know that there have been a number that have been completed in a timely fashion. There are a number that are progressing in a timely fashion. I guess at some point, not necessarily today, I'd be interested in knowing those that are pending, because it does say that there's a delay that can't be resolved by council. Maybe that's something we can discuss at another time. But I too know the amount of work that goes into getting the releases done on time, with staff pressures and the like, so I'd like to thank everyone involved in those departments as well.
Thank you, Councillor House. Any other discussion? Councillor Loder.
A question. The annual hard waste collection, doesn't that usually happen sort of November-ish?
So through you, Mr Mayor, that's correct. Around that October, November period normally, we've had to move it into early 2024, due to largely contractor availability, I believe. So just shifting it out away from a few things, but it will still be occurring within the 12 months. Just a slightly more
time. Cool, thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? If not, Councillor Dornoff is the seconder. Councillor Dunman, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. And against? That's unanimous. Thank you. Motion to close the meeting. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder, Councillor House. Just wait for me to write it down. All those in favour, please say aye. Against? Carried. Unanimous. Thank you.